702.
Weekend Breakfast
with Googs Mshungu. Let's walk the talk.
Time for us to get into a healthy living conversation for this morning. And as mentioned, tomorrow, the 16th of May, is World Hereditary Angioedema Awareness Day, otherwise known as HAE. And it's said to be a rare genetic condition that causes swelling under the skin. And to speak to us about HAE and to give us a bit more information, we're joined on the line by the chairperson of HAE South Africa, Janice Stradom. And of course, if you have questions or you'd like to share your experience of living with HAE, you can give us a call on 011-883-0702. Janice, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. So when we speak about HAE, what is hereditary angioedema disease?
So HAE is a very rare genetic disease which affects probably about 1 in 50,000 people in South Africa. So our concern, Googs, is that if you look at the amount of people in our country, we're 60 million people. We currently have 116 patients which are diagnosed in South Africa, which means that we probably have, at a conservative estimate, over 1,000 people who are struggling with this disease. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of symptoms. It causes swelling in various parts of the body. For example, your hands, your feet, your face, the intestinal wall, which causes excruciating pain, nausea and vomiting. We also have an issue with swelling in the throat or the airway, which can be dangerous, obviously, and can be fatal. It's estimated that in our untreated patients, the mortality rate of that is about 30%. So untreated patients, and even some of our patients who do have access to some of the less modern medications, have attacks probably about one or two attacks a week, which last about 2 to 5 days. So most doctors aren't familiar with this. The symptoms are very, very similar to those of allergies. Mm-hmm. So patients go for years undiagnosed or misdiagnosed because the symptoms mimic those of allergies. And unfortunately, the conventional treatments like antihistamines, cortisone, adrenaline, which they generally use for allergies, don't work for HAE. So our triggers are things like stress, which for me is a very, very big trigger. And I always like to remind people that stress isn't always a negative thing. You know, we also have the positive stresses in our lives. So for me, any kind of nervous excitement, like having to go to a wedding or a function or birthday parties, you know, that kind of thing is a massive trigger for me and a lot of our other patients. Injuring yourself if you had to bump yourself, walking, dental or medical procedures, also hormones for women is a very big trigger. And then, you know, things like I have an issue with cutting with a pair of scissors, that sort of constant pressure on one place on my hand causes that massive swelling.
And do we know what causes it? I know there's kind of an indication in the name, hereditary. So it is linked to one's genetics?
Yes, it is. So it's caused by a genetic defect that causes a problem with a protein in our blood. That protein is called C1 esterase inhibitor. Now, that inhibitor triggers the release of another protein called bradykinin, which causes, left unchecked, causes fluid to leak into the surrounding tissues, which causes that swelling and that pain that you see in HAE patients.
And is what causes that genetic issue? Are there some people who are more predisposed to getting HAE?
So it is a hereditary condition. Only 25 of our patients have a spontaneous genetic mutation. So it's passed down in family. So, you know, once a patient has it, it's an autosomal dominant condition, and once a patient has that, they have a 50-50% chance of passing it on to their child. So I've been very fortunate. I have two children and neither of my children inherited it. My brother has twins and his one little girl has it, but the little boy doesn't. But we have families with four children where, you know, all three children have inherited, because that 50-50 inheritance pattern is per child. So it's passed down in generations, except, as I say, for 25% of the patients who just have a spontaneous genetic mutation.
Mm. And in terms of treatment, what kind of treatment is available? I know you were saying, for instance, often because of a misdiagnosis, it might be treated as someone having an allergic reaction, and so antihistamines, anti-inflammatories and steroids don't quite work. But once you are correctly diagnosed, what treatment options are available to you?
So HIE can be managed with preventative and emergency treatments. Unfortunately, none of the modern treatments are actually registered in South Africa. So everything that we have, all of the modern medications are imported under Section 21, which is via SAHPRA. We have some older medications that we use in our country, one of which is a steroid, which, I'm sure you can imagine, is obviously not, it doesn't have very great side effects. It has bad side effects, especially for women. So I take that drug, but I try to keep my dosage down to a minimum to alleviate the side effects. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that you have to sort of weigh up against whether you want to deal with the swelling or whether you're going to deal with side effects from the medication. So there is a steroid medication that we can take. We can't give it to children. So for that, we use a tranexamic acid. And then for emergency medication, once again, we can get, if we import them into the country, it's also extremely expensive. So, quite prohibitively expensive, actually. So most of the time when we are hospitalized with emergency swells, like throat swells, we will have transfusions of fresh frozen plasma.
And for someone who has only access to, for instance, public healthcare, are they able to get these same kind of treatments in the public healthcare sector?
So, interestingly enough, some of our best physicians actually operate in the state healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky enough to find yourself a doctor who knows about HIE, and, that is actually what we're trying to do with this advocacy, is to get these patients who have these kind of symptoms to come to us so that we can put them on that path through the correct channels. They would have access to the steroid and obviously to the fresh frozen plasma. At the moment, the medications that aren't registered, we only have available at one facility in the country, which is Curtis Keith in Cape Town.
And in terms of life expectancy, does having HAE impact your life expectancy, but also quality of life? I imagine it does with quality of life.
Yeah, so look, we unfortunately, there's a significant disease burden on HIE patients, specifically undiagnosed, but I mean also for the rest of us. There's definitely a reduced quality of life. There's an impact on the ability to carry out daily activities, things like school, work, social activities. We've done some surveys, international surveys, and it's estimated that undiagnosed people and even our patients who aren't taking medication miss between 100 and 150 days of work or school in a year. Also very high levels of depression and anxiety because, our attacks are very unpredictable. We never know when they're going to happen. Obviously, the potential for suffocation is something to think about, which we think about all the time. And then obviously, because we have this genetic factor and there's a 50% chance of passing it on to a child, there's also a lot of guilt associated with that. So as I mentioned earlier, when we have these face or throat attacks, the mortality rate is about 30%. Having said that, we have lots of patients who obviously, live to the end of their lives and pass away with natural causes. So HIE actually manifests very differently for people. And even within different families, the frequency and severity of attacks is different for everybody.
And for HAE in children, is the kind of the normal public-private education system able to accommodate children? Would they need special accommodations?
Yes. So at the moment, we have a small cohort of doctors in South Africa who are actually able to manage these patients. Because as I say, most doctors will never see a case of HIE in their lifetimes, which is why we struggle to get diagnosed, because we walk into general practitioners and into specialists, and into emergency wards, and first responders see us, nobody recognizes this. So that is actually part of what we're trying to do as a patient organization, as HAE South Africa. We're trying to raise awareness of the disease, and part of that is education of doctors, both in the private and in the state sectors.
And in terms of the theme for HAE Global Awareness Day for 2020, what is that theme?
So our theme is stepping up for the global HAE movement. HAE International is a global network of non-profit organizations which is dedicated to raising awareness and improving the lives of patients across the globe. So there's currently 93 member organizations, of which South Africa is one. It takes place every year on the 16th of May. It's a focus for on activities to raise awareness among the general public, also, you know, industry representatives, and then, as I said, healthcare professionals. We ask everyone who's interested to take part in any physical or well-being activities. Obviously, for HAE patients, it's difficult for us to do some of the heavier activities like running, etc. But we also, you know, you can count something like reading or gardening or yoga. And then we ask everybody to record the time that they spend on the campaign website. They then take the activities, they convert them into steps for a virtual walk around the world. And then every year that activity starts, you can register on the website on the 1st of April and it ends on the 31st of May.
Mm. And, you know, we started the conversation, you were speaking about one of the challenges is that this is quite a rare condition. And so when, you know, Awareness Day comes around, how much work or how much time or the focus of the day is spent on educating the public on this condition? Because I think for many of us, because it is so rare, and you were saying, you know, there are doctors who might go, you know, many years without seeing someone diagnosed with HAE. So how much time and how much work do we do with regards to educating the public?
So that is pretty much what we do all the time, is it's education and awareness, because the more people that hear about this, you know, my hope as head of the patient organization is that speaking to you, somebody will hear about these symptoms and recognize them in either themselves or their family or their friends. So, and then obviously with our doctors, with healthcare professionals, we're very focused at the moment on first responders, because very often when people have emergency attacks, the first people to see us would be your first responders and then obviously your emergency room. So our whole focus for this kind of thing is awareness.
Mm. And in terms of, you know, family members, communities, how well are they able? I mean, you were just speaking about, you know, the people that will see you first, so you're the first responder. But before them, it would be friends and family or people you're at work with or people you're at school with. Is there any, you know, if you are then diagnosed, is there any support or resources for the people in your life who are most likely to see you or be there when you have a flare-up or an episode? Is there any support given to the people in your life?
Yeah, so you know, I'm very focused at the moment on actually the emotional impact of HAE, because we spoke a little bit earlier about the impact on your quality of life, and that quality of life doesn't only affect a patient; it also affects your spouse and your children and your friends and those around you. So we are very focused as a patient organisation on mental health. And then we have a very strong support structure within HAE South Africa. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. We do offer what we call a buddy system, where we can actually put patients in similar circumstances in contact with one another. So if we have a new mom, for example, and she's struggling with the attacks, because during your life with HAE, your attacks are quite different, you know, especially for women with them being dependent on hormones. Very often a hormone is a trigger. So we try to put youngsters in contact with one another, parents in contact with one another, and also caregivers in contact with one another to be able to discuss circumstances and get support from each other. Because the disease is so misunderstood, the only people who can really understand it is someone who either lives with someone with the condition or someone who has the condition themselves.
And you're saying you are available on all social media platforms. If someone's looking to get in touch with you or find the organization, do they just search for HAE South Africa?
Yes. So they can search for HAE South Africa. They'll find us, as I said, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and then also on our website. Our website has three forms where somebody can actually fill in an application, and it actually comes through to my email address, and then we will contact them back.
Janice, thank you so much for your time this morning.